And a good morning to you. Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the ball that fits you by Kent Wool, the world's best sock, and by Sea Palms Resort, home of the Miracle Practice Facility. This morning we're going to talk about stretching before you play. Some do it, some don't. We're also going to talk about TPI with Michael Cavanaugh from Advanced Rehab. Then we'll talk with Larry Koning of Golf Ball Tender that attaches to the flagstick and which also eliminates you having to bend over to get the golf ball out of the cup. And then finally, we'll talk with Pete Charleston of Golf Logix, who will tell us the benefits of green books and how it improves and helps your score. But first up is Michael Cavanaugh, Advanced Rehab and a TPI instructor. Morning, Michael. Welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Morning, Rich. Thanks for bringing me on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, except for a little back issues, but I'm all right. Let's talk about how important is it to stretch before you go out to play an 18-hole round of golf?
Oh, Rich, I mean, I think it's widely overlooked by a lot of amateur golfers.
Agree.
And it's becoming more prominent on the tour and more prominent with the focus on fitness. But I think it's just as important for you to stretch or do some type of dynamic warm-up as it is for you to go to the range and hit balls. You know, we see so many guys that go out to the range, pull out, you know, pitching wedge, 5-iron driver, and then crack open a beer and go to the course, right? But your round should really start about an hour before you ever even get to the course.
Okay.
And you've got to know what you're going to do in order to prepare your body to go do the athletic event that you're going to do. Your baseball players, your basketball players, your football players, they all stretch before they go to their competition. Golf's no different. It hasn't been looked at as an athletic sport in the past years, but with the likes of Roy McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau now, golf is becoming more of an athletic event. And so you've got to treat it just like you would any other way.
So why don't we as, you know, amateur weekend golfers, people that just like to get out and play and fellowship, why don't we stretch? We just don't take the time? Is that it?
I think people don't take the time, but they also don't know how or what to stretch.
Okay.
I mean, golf is a sport that utilizes so many muscles in your body. People don't know how they need to stretch or what they need to stretch, right? So they go out there and they just go have fun, right? And I think that if they knew what to do, and in my world where I teach people, hey, this is what you need to do,
right,
they're very receptive to it, and they do exactly what they need to. And then when they do, they go out and they play better, and they play, more importantly, they play pain-free.
You know, so. Well, a lot of the guys that I play with, I mean, they drive up to the golf course, they park their car, they get the clubs, they get their cart, they go to the hole, they may putt a couple, and then they go right to the tee and wonder why their first two or three shots, or maybe the first nine holes, they're not ready to play.
Right, for sure.
And that just becomes an issue. So take us through, if you can, the process when you go to the course an hour early, what you need to do.
Yeah, so let's say I have a 9 o'clock tee time, right?
Okay.
At my house, before I even get in the car, I do a couple of band and mobility drills here at the house, right? And for me, I think the way that I start my warm-up is I do a general mobility drill. I prioritize my warm-up into three different categories, right? Mobility, muscle activation, and then mechanics, okay? So whether it's at the house or at the course, I'm going to do some mobility drills to focus on my hips because the hips are one of the biggest movers in the golf swing. So I try to open up my hips and get some rotation going there.
Right.
I do the same thing in my upper spine, like my thoracic spine, my shoulder area. I want to get that rotating and get that loosened up. Right. And then I do some for like the back of the shoulder, because when you do the backswing, if you're a right-handed golfer, that left shoulder, when you get to the top of the backswing, always feels a little tight.
Yeah.
I like to get that stretched out.
Yeah.
Right. Then after that, I usually do some muscle activation exercises, because I think where a lot of people go wrong in the golf swing is it's that not just that we don't stretch, but you have to tell your body to turn the muscles on. And if you go to the first tee and you haven't done any drills to get those muscles firing, then you can't expect them to work when you actually get on the course.
Right.
Do some glute activation exercises. Again, I'll harp on the hips of one of the guys that's hips, right? So I'll do some glute activation exercises as well as some sidestepping or with a band. So you take a band, put it around your ankles, walk sideways, okay?
Okay.
That's a great way to get your glutes firing. You can do some clamshells. You can look those up on Google. They're pretty easy to find. Just some different activation exercises to get those going. I also work on my core stabilizers, because if you don't have any stability in the golf swing, you can't expect to be able to come through it, you know, amateurs 85, 90, 95, some even over 100 miles an hour. If you don't have the stability during that swing, you're not going to be able to have a reproducible, consistent, efficient swing. And then once I've done all those activation drills, I feel loose, I feel like my muscles are firing. Then once I get to the range, I can focus on the mechanics. So whatever I've learned from my PGA instructor, whatever lessons I'm taking, they usually have you doing a couple of drills. So that way I can spend the time at the range. Instead of hitting balls to loosen up, I'm already focused on whatever my drill is, right?
Okay.
To work on club face, work on swing alignment, whatever that is. So now the time at the range is much more productive because I don't have to waste those first 10 or 15 balls just trying to get loose.
Right. So the stretching takes maybe, 15, 20 minutes, and then the rest on the mechanics, and then get to the tee 10, 15 minutes prior to your tee time and just kind of putt a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think really you can make it as long as you want. A lot of these PGA guys, they go for about an hour, right?
Right.
But if you're an amateur golfer, you're just going out to have fun. You don't have to do an hour. You're not competing for millions of dollars. So, yeah, 15, 20 minutes of stretching, right? That's all you have to do, or some type of dynamic warm-up. And then you go hit balls for however long you want to, another 30 minutes, and then you go to the tee. So, that's about an hour.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about the golf swing. I mean, how much your body is torqued and how much, you know, you really kind of, you know, really get through it at a high rate of speed, faster than probably you do anything else. And it's the only sport where the ball doesn't move. So you've got to, you know, do the power. You've got to generate that power through your swing. And it's amazing. Sometimes I'll stretch a little bit and the front nine is horrible, but I'm stretched out because of the moves that we make, and I do better on the back nine.
Oh, yeah, I hear that all the time. Oh, well, just wait for the back nine, and then I'll be warmed up. Then I'll go.
Right.
I hear that all the time out there. Yeah, and that's the case. And so if golfers would spend some time, you know, getting, when I say warmed up, actually get some cardiovascular exercise in, right? Get a little, there's nothing wrong with having a little sweat going by the time you get to the first tee.
Right.
And, of course, down here in South Georgia, as soon as you get out of the car, you've got to sweat. But you can get a little bit of some movement going to produce some sweat by the time you get to the first tee. I think you'll find, a lot of these golfers will find that, wow, I'm actually playing better by hole two, hole three, right?
Yeah.
That first hole that you usually take a double bogey on just because you're trying to get loose, now is a par, right?
Yeah.
You're two strokes better than you started just because you spent a little time pre-round getting ready for what you need to do.
Right. So that takes care of the stretching part. Now, you're also a TPI medical instructor. Titleist Performance Institute. Tell us what that will do to help us become better in golf.
Yeah, sure. So the Titleist Performance Institute, it's an organization that is aimed, obviously it's aimed at improving the golf swing, but we do it through a holistic approach. Okay, so the TPI network, if you will, it's a team where you have a PGA certified instructor, you have a medical professional, that's me, and then you have a fitness instructor. You can have any or all three of those people on your team. But what you do is when you come in, we do a test that has 16 different screens in it. And when we do that test, it's going to identify any anatomical limitation you have in the golf swing. Okay. Then we video your swing. And so let's say you failed a hip rotation test or a thoracic rotation test.
Okay.
Then when we video your swing, I'm going to look for all of these different deficiencies that your body had in the swing. So if you failed the test for hip rotation, and then we look at the swing and you're not rotating your hips, you're swaying to the side or sliding back, or you know, you're not having a posterior pelvic tilt, we then say, okay, look, we failed the test, we're not doing it in the swing, so let's give you, as a medical professional, I'm going to check your joints, I'm going to check your muscles, I'm going to make sure that everything is okay, and then I'm going to give you some exercises to make those hips move. Right. So where I found it most beneficial is one of these golf instructors, let's say you go out and you're not, we're just going to stick with the hips. Let's say you're not rotating your hips. Well, the golf instructor will give you exercises to do that. But if you're not turning on those muscles, you can do those drills till you're blue in the face and you're not going to get your hips to rotate.
Right. Right.
So we've got to get, so when you come in and you see one of us, we are going to help you get those hips to rotate. And then I'm going to turn around and tell you, go see your PGA instructor now and get him to teach you the drills, right? So it's an efficient, if you do it right, it's a very efficient manner.
Okay. How long does it take, Michael?
Sir?
How long does it take?
The evaluation takes about an hour.
Okay.
And then your exercises, it's going to be 15, 20 minutes. It's something that you should do every day.
Okay. Well, I know a lot of people don't do that, and then they wonder why they get hurt or why they don't warm up until the back nine. But then do you focus on the weaknesses in their swing, or do you try and accentuate their strengths, or both?
Yeah, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
Right? So if we look at, let's look at tour. Let's look at Matthew Wolf, Jim Furyk, Adam Scott. All three have completely different swings.
Right.
But all three of them have made a nice little living playing golf.
Yeah, a little
bit. You know, what we're going to do is see, all right, we want you to work on this, but this is going to take time because most golfers have already played for 10, 15 years, or maybe 2 years, right? But think about how many golf balls you've hit. We've got to break that pattern that is already ingrained in your body. So we're going to give you, we're going to play to your strengths, but then we're also just trying to make it a little bit better for you. We're not going to try to change your swing completely. We're just
right.
going to try to look at your physical capabilities and maximize what you already have.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to several people who've, you know, had lessons and then they go out and play and then they say, well, the lesson, I mean, I'm doing what he told me to do, but it's not helping. That's probably because they're trying to think of too many things that they learned or were told during the lesson, and they need to take one or two of those things, and that's it.
Right, yeah. And so, let's say, again, you come back into our room, we do the screening. If you fail five or six different tests,
right,
we're going to pick one at a time, and we're going to say, we're going to focus on this one is the most prominent,
okay.
or this is the one that has the greatest chance of causing you injury, so we have to fix this first. And
okay.
That's the only thing we're going to focus on.
Okay.
Then once you get to that, then we can focus on something else. You know, so you take it one step at a time, because golf is something that it's a sport you can use and play your whole life. So we don't have to get it all done in 2 weeks.
And do you find, Michael, that you know, amateurs that are coming in are obviously trying to swing too hard because they're trying to get more distance? It's important from an ego standpoint to say that you hit a 7-iron 150 yards. But what really matters is it doesn't matter what club you hit. What matters is where does it go and have you hit your target?
Right. And is it consistent? I mean, you can hit a 7-iron 150 yards, but if it's 30 yards to the right or 30 yards to the left, maybe you should have dropped down and hit 6-iron and now it's on the green, you're putting for par.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in this day and age were trying to hit the ball hard, which is good. It's easier to teach you accuracy than it is speed. So especially for the younger golfers at this point, the philosophy has switched to just let them hit it as hard as they can and we'll teach them the swing later on.
Yeah.
But for the people who are older, and by older I mean not juniors, it's a lot harder to learn speed. So
yeah.
I'm fine with you trying to hit it harder, but what happens a lot of times if you get on a monitor is when you say you're hitting it harder, you're really not. You're just tensing up a lot of your muscles and
right.
you're sacrificing the form, whereas if you would slow it down and actually hit center of the club face, you get more distance that way.
Yeah, I remember an interview I did many years ago before he passed away, Billy Casper. He said, remember two things on your takeaway, low and slow.
Definitely.
And a lot of people I see go back fast and high and then wonder why the ball doesn't go anywhere near where they need to go.
Exactly. If we go just aside from TPI and look at as a physical therapist, I deal with a lot of just knee replacements, hip replacements, back pain. Tell all my patients, look, you're reintegrating back into golf. Slow
yep.
your swing speed down.
Yeah.
3/4 and just focus on hitting the center of the club face.
Right.
90% of them come back and they say, I'm hitting the ball farther than I did ever before. And I go, yeah, it's because you're hitting the center of the club face. Right.
Right.
So I'm all about it. Now, the guys on tour, sure, they're trying to hit it harder because look at their dispersion pattern. They're hitting the center of the club face every single time.
Right.
Amateurs,
right.
a lot of amateurs don't even hit the center of the club face, if we were honest, when you putt. Right. So if you're not hitting the center of the club face when you putt, how do you expect to do it with a driver 100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
It's on that first, and then we can work on speed later.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys I play with were surprised when we hit it in the center of the club. It's like, whoa, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. That's the sound it's supposed to have. For sure.
All right, Michael, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time, and I just appreciate all that you do over at Advanced Rehab. Thank you for being with us.
No, thanks for having me, Rich. You have a wonderful afternoon.
All right, you too. Michael Cavanaugh with Advanced Rehab and a TPI medical instructor talking about what we all should do, which is stretch. And we're going to stretch right into a commercial break, but we'll be back to talk about golf ball tender on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
This is John Clark from the Georgia News Network, and you're listening to the number one golf show on the Georgia News Network, the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. Glad you're with us today. Next up is Larry Koning of Golf Ball Tender. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Well, good morning, Rich.
You doing all right?
I am doing wonderful. It's a beautiful sunny day in western Michigan.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was up in Michigan last summer or fall. Wonderful golf courses. A little chilly on a couple days, but the other days the weather was just perfect. But you got some great golf courses up there.
Oh, we sure do. Absolutely beautiful.
All right, tell us about Golf Ball Tender.
Well, Golf Ball Tender is a product that just as a golfer, a lover of the sport, that we came up with, and it was mainly because of the USGA rule change 13.2A, when you were allowed to putt with a pin in, just realized that after a day's play, the cup became quite ragged from people sticking their fingers down the hole or trying to pop the ball out with the flag stick or sticking a putter down the hole.
Yep.
And there needed to be something to help solve that problem.
And how long did it take you to come up with the idea to do this? Because I know it is frustrating when you go to a hole and you've got to kind of pat down before you putt, you know, all the bumps and where it's coming up and it's uneven or it's, you know, you're always going to blame something that your putt doesn't go in, but you're trying to make it as easy as possible. So how long did it take you to come up with a Golf Ball Tender?
Well, I'm, like I said, I'm in the tool and die business. We're okay. Mold makers. We own a mold shop here in Holland, Michigan, and LS Mold. And because I'm in the industry, have some resources that most people don't have. Came up with just a design that we played with for months, actually.
Okay.
And once it was designed, did a ton of testing with different plastics and a lot of things we wanted it to achieve to make it the best it possibly could be. And we also worked with our club pro here at the Ravines in Saugatuck, Rob Charter. He was very helpful. And, you know, what would a pro or what would a superintendent want to see and what wouldn't they want to see?
Right.
So that's how we came up with the Golf Ball Tender. But basically, the capabilities, it just had to go on the flag stick very easily. I wanted it to basically open up, snap on any flag stick and drop right to the bottom of the cup and never come up in the cup.
Right.
It had to be soft enough that when you drop the stick, say you didn't putt with a pin in, you drop the stick on the green and you stepped on the flag stick, you rolled around with your foot, it would not damage the green.
Right.
And then, of course, it needed to retrieve the ball.
Right.
So that's what we came up with.
How much did that rule change do to the game of golf besides speed it up?
Well, it did speed up the game, but I think the damage it left behind, you know, you can find article after article with
right.
the with the fray poles and people, you know, not pulling out the flag stick and sticking their hands down there.
Right.
So there was, some residual damage to that.
All right. So I've been at a lot of golf courses, and some have the sponge that's in there, and sometimes when you putt, it'll go in the hole, hit the sponge, and bounce out. Now, some guys play that's good, and others play, no, it's not. It's got to stay in the hole.
That's good to me.
Because yours doesn't do that, right?
You know, yeah, now we're talking COVID.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, even with a golf ball tender, it's intended to sit at the bottom of the cup.
Right.
So it will never, the ball will never bounce out or that type of thing. But with COVID, we have a little clip that will clip on the flag stick.
Right.
and it will suspend that golf ball tender at the height you would like in the cup. But the key to that, I'm not in the golf industry. I'm a tool and die guy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how flagsticks vary in diameter. They're just nothing is created equal.
Correct.
So we have a clip that will work on most half-inch diameter flagsticks. It will snap on nice and tight. You put that golf ball tender, say, an inch or two below the ground.
Right.
You can easily reach in, grab the ball, and not fray the hole as well.
Yeah, I mean, some of the pins are thicker, some are thinner, some are even made of wood rather than the metal. And does that make a difference to golf ball tender?
For golf ball tender itself, absolutely not.
Okay.
It will fit any flagstick.
Okay. You know, that rule leaving the pin in, I honestly feel that it's more advantageous to leave the pin in, especially on long putts, but I also don't mind it being in for short putts because it gives you a better place to aim than looking at the hole.
I totally agree.
Okay.
And, you know, with the whole COVID, don't touch the pin type thing.
Right.
I think the people that did not putt with a pin in, you're going to have a ton more people just leaving it in.
Right.
So, it's only going to get worse. But,
yeah.
Unless you use golf ball tender, of course.
That's of course. Do you have any stats on the percentage of golfers that leave the pin in now since that rule change?
You know, I don't.
Okay.
When we first came up with the golf ball tender, again, the Ravines was they were very kind to me, allowed me to test it actually on the course. On the first day we unveiled it, I actually rode around on the beverage cart and talked to players as they were playing. Of course, no one had ever seen anything like that before.
Right.
There was nothing out there. And I would say at that time, you know, maybe 40-50% would putt with a pin in, but the rest, had no interest in, putting with a pin in, but
okay.
I'm sure that number has changed now.
I do too. I mean, I see more and more people leaving the pin in. Some of the pros do. I mean, I've talked to a couple of the pros down here, and they said, no, I'm so used to not having the pin in, it just throws me off to have it in. But they're professionals, we aren't, and I honestly prefer to have it in.
I do too. I never pull the pin. And, you know, the nice thing about golf ball tender, the group of guys I play with, in fact, I'm hopefully going to join them on the back nine when we're done talking. But the group of guys I play with, you know, vary in age. And one of the fellows is close to 80.
Yeah.
And he can hardly bend over. He's a good golfer. But always, with a golf ball tender, you lift the flagstick straight out, grab the ball, and put it back in.
Yep.
It really works very, very well.
All right. So what if our golf course does not have golf ball tender? Can we, as members of that club or frequent players at that club, can we go to our pro? Is that how we can get it at our club?
You know, that's a very good start. And people can go online. They can buy golf ball tender on golfballtender.com.
Okay.
Got a lot of distributors out there, but I've sent a lot of clubs samples. Just quite honestly, when we showed it off at the PGA show last January, talked to a ton of pros,
right.
And you know, they were all very excited about it, so they just need to know about it.
Yeah, that's true, and getting that word out. So getting the word out, give us your website, Larry.
It's golfballtender.com.
That's easy.
And very nice website. It's easy to order. There's some articles. There's, you know, all kinds of information. What it's trying to do to help prevent, you know, damage to the hole and that type of thing. One thing we haven't talked about is when we did go to the PGA show, you know, I thought I had an invention. It has a provisional patent,
right,
that no one else ever heard about. Well, that wasn't true. I think there were like six or seven other people that tried to come up with some type of product like mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, the difference is mine is a soft, rubberized, automotive-grade type plastic.
Okay.
Won't damage the grain. It won't break. It really, really works well. The others are a hard plastic that really can be kind of invasive.
Right.
Green area. Yep.
You've got the best product that's out there in that product category. And, Larry, thank you for being with us on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
I can't thank you enough.
Larry Koning of Golf Ball Tender, try it. If your club doesn't have it, go up on the website, take a look at it, and see all the advantages that it's got. And speaking of advantages, we're going to talk with Pete Charleston of Golf Logics to find out why green books are good and can help improve your score. We'll be back on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Hello, good morning, Back Nine Boys. This is Neil Lancaster from Smithfield, North Carolina. Hope everyone's doing well in Brunswick, Georgia.
And we hope you are too, and we thank you for joining us on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. We're live on Facebook and also on ESPNCoastal.com. Have you ever wondered why the pros and their caddies use those books during a round and what's inside? Well, our next guest is Pete Charleston of Golf Logics. Good morning, Pete, and welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Hey, good morning.
So tell us about Golf Logics.
Well, it's been a long run. I was one of the founders. We started this way back in 1999, and we were one of the first companies to do a handheld GPS device, and ultimately ended up as an app on the smartphones in 2009. And we actually, I would say, we actually went backwards in a weird way. And
yeah.
Just this year, we came out with we went from software to a hard copy, custom made yardage book with the green contours.
And is the app more popular, or are the hard copies becoming more popular?
Well, I mean, we've had over 5 million downloads with the Golf Logics app. So,
wow.
I could only hope that we would sell 5 million books, but based on what we've been seeing, since we launched here in May, it is really taking off.
And how many courses do you have in the hard copies?
We've got about 14,000 courses done with the green contours. So we've been working hard at it for about 5 years.
All right. For a weekend golfer, do you think it's something that will help them shave strokes off their game if they knew and were able to read it in order to improve their game and lower their scores?
I'm not just saying this because it's my company, but
right.
it is mind-blowing. I mean, I went to, just to give you an example, I was out in Aspen last weekend with some friends,
okay.
And we played Aspen Golf Club. It's a great municipal course out there. They've held some amateur events. I mean, really tough greens. And my buddies were out there the day before. They'd already played, and they're like, Pete, these greens are so hard. They're running 12s. We're three-putting, da-da-da. I walked out there with my book, and I three-putted one time in the entire round, and I never even looked at a putt. I literally just, I'd stand up, I'd look at my book, I'd kind of rotate the book. Oh, yeah, it's going left to right.
Ah.
That's a little bit downhill. I think it's about a cup out to the left. And worst case, I knew the break. And so if I hit it by a little bit or left a little bit short, I was in the giving range every time. It was just crazy.
And that frustrates your partners when you're playing, but it also makes you feel pretty good. So that's one of the huge benefits of the books, right?
It is. Most people, and I'm one of those people, I didn't start playing golf until I was 30. I'm not a very good green reader. But if
right.
I'm fortunate enough, and it doesn't happen very often, but if I actually get to play with the caddy, playing with a caddy is like cheating, right? I mean, for the amateur golfer, they're tapping his shoulder and going, hey, Pete, all right, I want you to aim here, or pretend the cup is 12 inches short and about 6 inches left. When I have that, boy, it's so easy to putt.
Sure.
But as amateur golfers, we don't get that like the pros get.
Right.
And so to have this thing, it's like having a caddy in your back pocket. You just, you know with certainty the putt's going left or right or uphill or downhill. You got to, there's an art to figuring out, is it a foot, a cup, left edge, you know, center cup. But once you learn that, you know every time. It's so easy.
Well, even courses that you haven't played and courses that you have played a lot of times your putting is horrible because you're not reading it correctly.
There's nothing worse when, and we all have those days when we just literally can't see the putt.
Totally agree.
Yep. It's so frustrating.
Yes, it is.
I play my private course over and over. I remember Arizona Country Club in Scottsdale. I play it over and over again. And I use this book on every day, probably on 9-10 holes.
Yeah.
And it just, it's that confirmation, you know, did I read it right?
Right.
You read it right. Boy, you step up and you are just putting with confidence. And the one thing, when you look at the books, you can use it out in the fairway as an approach tool because it has a what's called a heat map. And so you have red would be the slopiest, and white would be where it's really flat, and
okay.
Then blue is kind of the next step. And if you generally the pins are more kind of in the greens, blues, and whites, right? Because you got to have a fair pin.
Right.
Well, if you can try to make your approach to where you end up with the ball is inside more of a green, blue, or white, and the pins inside that, it is go time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in a blue and white area on that heat map, you don't even have to look at the book.
Yeah.
You just look down and go, oh, I'm in a blue and white. This thing is, at worst, it's inside left.
Okay.
But generally, it's a straight putt. And I don't know about you, but I don't see straight putts.
Yeah.
Everything has a break.
I think straight putts are the hardest to hit.
Oh, it's a nightmare. But when the book confirms it for you,
yeah,
you're just stepping up, and you're with confidence. You're going right at the center of the cup.
Yeah. It's amazing to me how misreading putts causes so much frustration. I mean, it was supposed to go to the left. No, it was supposed to go to the right. And then it went straight at the hole. So as you say with a caddy, the biggest difference in playing with a caddy in the green books is that you can always blame the caddy that he read it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
there's an art to this, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to tell you that you're going to understand the difference between, like I said earlier, 2 feet, a foot, you know, or left edge.
But, right.
But you won't miss on the wrong side of the hole.
All right.
That's what's frustrating, because you end up with a 5 or 6 foot comeback.
Right.
And then you three putt, and then we all know what happens. Three putts breed more three putts.
Yep. And you get, three putts make you want to quit the game.
It's so hard just to get the damn ball on the green and the, you know, in two shots or three shots, and then
exactly,
and all of a sudden you three putt and you're like, really?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's say my course is not on your list, or let's say my course is on your list. What does it cost to get the green book for my course?
So the green books are $40 a piece.
Okay.
And if we don't, we have so many courses, and I know. You know, we're working, Georgia in particular, we've got a lot of work going on right now. I think we're going to add a lot of courses in Georgia soon.
Okay.
But, we have a request a course button. Certainly the more requests we get for the course, it moves up in our, you know, in our queue. And then we email everybody back and say, hey, great news, the course is available. And it's available at golflogix.com, golflogix.com. And you just easily search for your course. And if we have it, it pops up. And you can order it directly. And we custom make every book. And we have a waterproof. The pages are actually waterproof. And then we put a kind of a plastic, almost like a passport cover, waterproof cover as well.
Okay. And how long does it take to get your course added to the list of courses that you provide?
That's the rub. I mean, this is a really hard process, and this is not like a satellite data type of thing.
Right.
You know, this is real deal, accurate to, you know, a few centimeters. So, you know, every course is custom done. And so it can take as many as, you know, a week, or, you know, it could take a few months, unfortunately, but
right.
we're working hard on it.
And, you know, one of the other issues is that the course was, you know, you had the book from before, and now the course has been redesigned and redone.
Yep.
And then you've got to go back out and redo based on the new greens and the new layouts.
Yeah, that's, and again, that's another challenge.
Right.
We're working on a solution to where we have something, you know, generally it's one hole. Like the course did a remodel on hole number 18 to, you know, do something.
Right.
So we're working on a solution where we can do it more quickly, and we hope to have that out in the next few months. I think we're getting closer.
All right. Tell me about Golf Logics Plus.
So our app, it's essentially it's the same thing. You know, within our app, it's $50 a year, and you get access to all the courses, actually around the world, you know, for that $150 fee. Now,
okay.
You have your phone, and you've got to take your phone to the green, and many people are fine with that. But the unique advantage about the phone is it actually will read the putt for you. It's really crazy. You actually, you know, walk up to your ball, and you can literally draw. You're looking at the green. It rotates for you, so you whatever you're looking at, that's the pointing towards the pin.
Right.
You just draw a line from your finger to where you know the cup is, and all of a sudden it spins a second, and then it'll say aim 6 inches short, 3 inches to the left. So it's unbelievable for your practice rounds or your you know just your regular rounds of golf. This one is not USGA legal, but
okay.
I just want to remind, I didn't say it earlier, the books are actually fully tournament USGA legal.
Okay, but the app is not.
We do have a mode within it.
Right.
You can set it at the beginning of the round, kind of like your slope on your rangefinder, where you can set it before the round, and then it will give you a static view similar to the yardage book,
okay.
To the green book.
Okay.
So you can, and then you have to check with your tournaments, and as long as they allow cell phones, then it's legal.
Right. Interesting. Very interesting. Pete, can we talk a little bit more? We got to take a break, but we're going to come back with Pete Charleston of Golf Logics with more on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
I'm Peter Kessler, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. We are on the phone with Pete Charleston of Golf Logics. And Pete, one of the things that I was thinking about, I mean, this would be so advantageous if you were doing a golf trip. You can go up and find the state or the city where you're going and find out all the courses that you're going to play and see if Golf Logics is available for those courses.
Yeah, and then you show up, and of course, you know, you don't want to tell your friends because you're going to win all the money.
So you keep it to yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're putting lights out. You got to keep it as a secret. Maybe you tell them day two after you win all the first day bets.
Yeah. Well, they'll kind of know when you pull out the app and you sink a putt that or the book that you sink a putt because you read it right. But I noticed on your website when I was up on it this week doing some research. Did I see right that you're also doing tee times?
Yeah. Well, we're a Golf Now's largest affiliate tee time. Provider, and so you know, obviously, with all those members that we have on our app, you know, it just makes sense. And so we've got a little tee time, you know, button down at the bottom that you can click on. And one of the really cool things about it is that, you know, even if you don't have our app, you know, you can go download it for free at you know, go to the Apple App Store under Golf Logics with an X,
uh-huh.
Or the Android Play Store, and we actually, when you sign up, we actually give you a free 20% off tee time coupon to use. And then we also, if you upgrade to our paid membership, we give a free $20 off Golf Now tee time. So it's kind of a no-brainer. At the very least, you try our app. We give you two free rounds to try all the features. And then you get a 20% off coupon, which is great. It adds up, especially during peak season. You know, if you don't want to upgrade, you still get our free app, which gives you a 3D imagery of the holes, keeps track of scores and stats, and gives you distance to the center of the green. So it's still a fantastic app, and you know, you don't even have to pay.
All right, Pete, I'm going to ask you a tough question. In your opinion, and you use both, you've used the app and you've used the green book, which do you think is more advantageous?
It depends on the situation.
Yeah,
you know, depends who you're playing with. Some people don't like it when you have your phone out, and that's why we created the book.
Right.
The book just sits in your back pocket, It's no one's ever going to dispute it. It's tournament legal. But boy, the app is cool. it's so amazing when you stand up and it just reads your putt. It's like you don't even have to interpret it. It just tells you. So it's a tough call. I don't know.
All right. And you've got all these courses. You've sold 5 million of the apps, and it's that easy just for $50 a year.
It is. And, you know, and in the book, boy, I mean, for $40, if you're going on a guy's trip, no brainer. If you're going to pay for that in the first day of bets.
Yep. And as presents, you could also get one for the guys that you're playing with, but you may not want to give it to them until you're done.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, we got crushed on Father's Day.
I'll bet.
When you mentioned gifts, I mean, we were bringing in like temporary help. I had my son back there helping. It was so we were so overwhelmed during Father's Day. So it is going to be like for Christmas. It's going to be unbelievable as a gift because it's a new thing for golfers.
All right. Do you know, on getting back to the tee times, how many courses are you able to book tee times from your website?
So it's essentially we've created a link within our app. So it's every Golf Now or every course that Golf Now is available at.
Okay.
So tremendous amount of courses, as you know, with Golf Now.
And how successful is that being so far for you?
Oh, it's been unbelievable. We've had a partnership with them since 2012, I think, 2013.
Okay.
12. Yeah, so it's been a long run with them. They're you know, a great provider. They're always adding new courses and updating their their available tee times, especially with their hot deals, right? And they offer the great pricing on a one or two tee times a day for each course.
Right. All right. You and I are playing. I don't have a green book. I don't have the app. You do. How many strokes, on average, do you feel that you will save and shave off your score that I won't?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how good a putter you are. But I would say average person, we go play a course that neither one of us has played.
Okay.
5 to 7 putting strokes.
Really? I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's the difference between 70 and 80 or 80 and 90.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, just so you know, I'm a kind of 7-8 handicap. So that's my range. But I am a really good putter. And when you arm me with a tool where I don't have to think, you don't have to sit there and go, oh, God, is it left or right? I can't really tell. Is it slightly up? I mean, when you take those variables out and like the pros are doing, and you just step back, and I don't have to walk to the left. I don't walk to the right. I don't walk behind the hole. I literally just step. It's so quick. I just step up. I look at my book and go, oh, God, I can totally. And then we made these arrows really big. So, you know, if you can't see so well with as we all get older, the arrows pop right out at you. It's just obvious. And you just see, oh, the whole green's moving down and to the left.
So how do you feel about Bryson DeChambeau? Well, around October, they'd call him DeChambeau. But how do you feel about him using a protractor in one of the tournaments? I saw that and I said, what is he doing?
Well, frankly, he messed it up for all of us. and here's why. Like, so what he did, he actually created a tool that could almost exactly read a putt.
Right.
If you take the type of data we have and you use this protractor, and I don't want to get into physics of it because that's my piece, but he did figure a way that could almost perfectly read a putt. Well, that's not fair. You know, there's an art to reading green books, and green books and yardage books have been around since the beginning of golf. People have been sketching on paper.
Yeah.
So what we've created is no different. But what happened is, the USGA had to change the rule and put a stricter, had to put a stamp on it and disallow some things like that. But by doing that, they made us make our books smaller, which doesn't make sense. It's like, why couldn't we make a bigger view of the green so it's easier to read for everybody?
Well, Pete, you have been a wonderful guest. You've helped out a lot. I'm probably going to order a bunch of books, or I'll call Mary Beth and see what I can work out with her. But thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you so much. And yeah, you need a few books, the courses you play, please let Mary Beth know, and I'll get them out to you. I'd love to get them in your hands.
I would love to have them. There's an advantage. Yes. All right. Thanks. Pete Charleston, Golf Logix, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Great show. I mean, these guys are just helping you improve your game and improve saving strokes with putting, with an app, with the book. Hey, we just want to improve and get better. And thank you for being with us. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is live every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 9 on ESPN Coastal and on back9boys.com. Thank you to Cody Queen, and thank you for being with us this morning.